Turning tonight to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 1. There is a selection of verses in Matthew 1 which I would like to read. And my subject tonight is very simple and straightforward. Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. I begin by reading Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Then verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, look, pay attention, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And verse 24, verse 25 is still about Joseph. So Joseph, son of David, the earthly father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said the earthly father. He is of the lineage of King David. David from the tribe of Judah. You see, he is from a royal descent. But I have to tell you or confess to you that in my small life, I didn't hear many sermons on Joseph. We speak about Mary. We speak about angels. We speak about the shepherds. We speak about other characters of Christmas, but Joseph is hardly mentioned. Maybe we do not give him the credit he deserves, and I will do my best to explain why. In most Christian biographies, he is not there, but he is a good man, as we shall see. But in many ways, he is an intriguing character, don't you think so? Very intriguing in many ways. And it is interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ never, never referred to him as his father. Never. So you can see again, Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph was a carpenter. But please, the word carpenter in the Bible, especially related to Joseph, is not just about wood. He was a builder. He was a craftsman. That's really how you have to read the word carpenter there. And he was a good father. We will see that also. He was a good father. And he trained the Lord Jesus Christ, who later was called also the son of a carpenter. And he himself was called in his hidden years. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ from age 12 until the age 30? Where was he? And there are traditions that are telling us he was a very known builder, Joseph, in the city of Nazareth. And guess what? He was making the best yokes. The best yokes. And he trained his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a manual man, a handyman, a man of action. But you see, this carpenter, in a twinkling of an eye, in just a night, one night, his life was turned upside down. Upside down. His life will never be the same again. You know the saying, I'm sure, man proposes and God disposes. It is God who was channeling It was God who was disposing every detail of the life of this man. Now, it's interesting, at least to me, that the birth of Jesus Christ, the good news, everyone, the angels brought good news. Mary heard good news. But that was supposed to be good news to all, actually, from the beginning. Later, of course, it will become good news to Joseph also. But I think this is a man who went through a big challenge. But before it became good news to him, it was bad news. Bad news. And I want, in a very simple study tonight, give you 6 headings, all related to Joseph. And I hope the purpose of it is really to appreciate, to imitate the character of a hidden man, almost unknown. And the first heading I want to put before you, we read it in verse 19, Joseph was a discreet man. A discreet man. You know, some people are known for doing the talking. Chatterboxes. They are known for that. They do all the talking. When you are with them, you could hardly say a word. But that was not the case of Joseph. Actually, I'm surprised, because this is a man who never spoke in the New Testament. He never said a word that you will have in quotation. Nowhere. That's why I kept saying to you, this was a man of action. And we hear Mary speaking, but not Joseph. Less speaking and much doing. We don't know about his age. Some people think he was already old when he married Mary, but this is speculation. We cannot go and believe that. But many people believe also that he died, Joseph died very soon after the Lord Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry. Because you remember, when Christ died at age 33, Christ began his ministry at age 30, he died at age 33, there at the cross of Calvary, his mother was there. And he said, not to Joseph to look well after his mother, but he said to his disciple, to the apostle John, to look after his mother. It means Joseph was not there anymore. But these are just ideas. We cannot be dogmatic on those things. But when Mary was found to be with a child, this is a man. I won't enter in the details of all the steps of getting married in the Jewish culture. There are 3 main steps, but we won't enter into that. It won't be helpful to us, because we want to focus on Joseph. But as he is betrothed to that young lady Mary, and suddenly he found that she is expecting. So you see, not of him, of course. What do you want him to think in that culture? Remember, that culture is very different than us. The impudicity you see today, and the perversity and the licentiousness you see today, it was not there. Not that they are better sinners than us, but there are things that kill them. People are ashamed to do. And this was a big shame in that culture. Big shame. Today, out of marriage, people are proud to have a child. But that was not the culture. So you see, she found herself with a child. So you can guess what was going through his mind. Embarrassing and shameful. I come from a culture, really, I have to tell you, that those things are still valid there. To find yourself with a child without outside marriage, it was shameful, because everyone In the villages are small, everyone knows everyone. In a big city, you can easily melt in the crowd. But I'm just explaining these things to you so you can see what was going into Joseph's mind at that stage. He didn't have the same information as Mary, because the angel will speak earlier to Mary and later to him. He was a man in tension. But there are things he could have done according to the Old Testament. Can I list one or two for you? There are many. But number one, when he found that his wife, because she is called already his wife, even though they didn't have the celebration of the wedding, she's already called his wife. And he is called her husband. Because then people knew what it means to give vows, to give promises to one another. Nowadays, you know what they say? No need to be married. Why do you need a piece of paper? But people kept their promises then, not now. So number one, according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, she would have been stoned publicly. Publicly. Number two, Deuteronomy chapter 24, he could have separated with her quietly. And thirdly, we could say he could have called her all names under the sun, all names under the sun in that situation. But he does not assume the worst. Do you see already his character? He does not assume the worst. You and me, as soon as we hear certain things, we go to the paroxysm. We assume the worst. My dear friends, if you don't mind me making a lesson here, an application, please, please, my brothers and sisters, let us think the best of one another as believers. The best. Because it is so easy to think the worst. But Joseph didn't assume the worst. He wanted to think the best of her. He was a humble man. God works through humble people. You see, he was a silent man. He didn't say much. But yet through him, through his obedience, do you see even prophecies were uttered just through the obedience of Joseph. They're here in Matthew chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1. And you read through the Gospels, you will see that prophecies have come to be fulfilled because of the channel of Joseph listening to the voice of the angel, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and obeying the word of God. When you obey the word of God, I guarantee you many good things will happen in your life. And he did not seek to humiliate Mary. He was of royal mind as well of royal race. He was an effaced man. My dear young sisters, if I can make an application for you tonight in speaking about Joseph. He was a discreet man. He was an effaced man. You know what I hear today? I have been a pastor, as you know, for 32 years now. I met many young people. I met young ladies. They said to me, "We want a strong man." Really? You want a dictator? You want a tyrant? No, I don't wish to have a strong man. Have an effaced man. Have a godly man. Have a wise man. But I must move on. That's not a marital sermon I want to put before you. But just you think, the lesson you can see in Joseph here, he was discreet. And his wife didn't have any problem to submit. Number two. Verse 19. He was a just man. He was a just man. Look at it there in verse 19. Joseph was a just man. A righteous man. Yes, he was just a man, but a just man. And in the New Testament, this is the language of a saved man. When you hear, this is a righteous man, this is a righteous woman, this is a just man, this is a just woman, it means he's a saved man, saved woman. He's a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. She is indwelled and he's indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be righteous, to be a just man. And it means also, to be just means that this man takes into account the word of God. He obeys the law of God. Again, my dear friends, when you hear somebody saying to you that a Christian is no more under the law of God, under the Ten Commandments, oh, you heard me saying this, run away from him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The Ten Commandments, that's the nature of God, the character of God. How could you say you are not anymore under the character of God? Oh, that would be a sacrilege. Not to be under the Ten Commandments. They won't save you, of course, but once you are saved, they become the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, the law of God becomes the rule of life for your holiness and for your spiritual growth. You see, Joseph was not a superstitious man. Today, when people have the slightest dream, they want to... The whole world, Facebook, I don't know which network they are using. The whole world must know that last night I had a dream. I often say they should check what they have eaten. You know? Today, God doesn't speak to us through dreams. The Bible. The Bible. And you can check for yourself. All Joseph's dreams were in relation to the protection of the child. Not for himself. Never. All in relation to protect the child. I will mention very soon some of them. So you see, Joseph chose grace instead of disgrace. You see, a righteous man chooses grace instead of disgrace. And even before having the full revelation, he wanted to do what is right. He said quietly, I will not marry her, but I will not hurt her. That requires wisdom. In our world today, they will display the person on social media. You will be bombarded and lashed. People will lash out upon you. But he was not a hurtful man. He loved God and he loved his neighbor. Number three. So number one, he was a discreet man. Number two, he was a righteous man. Number three, he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. How could you be a righteous man, really saved man, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and not be a man of faith? That baby should come even first. Man of faith. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said believing on the Lord Jesus Christ because many think they have faith. If your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, please allow me to say again, in the kindest way, it is not faith at all. We call it devilish faith, diabolic faith, not dynamic faith. Because saving faith is always in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say he was a man of faith? Look at verse 20 and 21. When you look at the record, you will see that when the angel spoke to Zechariah, Zechariah said, how will this be? When the angel spoke to Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary said, how will this be? But when it comes to Joseph, do you see him asking any question? No, he didn't ask any question. So he obeyed without hesitation. It's there. And because to believe that a woman with a child without the intervention of a man requires faith, my dear friends. And this is where our faith is so miraculous. You know, the Christian faith is based on miracles. And one special miracle, unique, supernatural, is that a woman will give birth to a child without the intervention of a man. It happened once and it will never happen again. That's why this morning I told you, science cannot explain that to you because it didn't happen again. Didn't happen again. So true faith believes in the unbelievable. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You see, Joseph heard the gospel. You remember the morning verse? Matthew 1 verse 21, you shall give him the name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save his people. He heard that. That's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And he heard, oh, this baby going to be born in my home is the savior of the world. But he is my savior. Not just the savior of the world, but my savior. Mary said the same. In Luke chapter 1, he said, I magnify the name of my Savior. So Joseph believed in the gospel. And Joseph, my dear friend, was not a dreamer. Do you see that? He was given a dream. There is a difference. He was not a dreamer, but he was given the dream. And that's amazing. All his dreams, as I said, were to protect the child. And not much was said to him, but he believed. Today we have the whole Bible. 66 books. More than 30,000 verses. All that, this is dream becoming true. It's here, the Bible. The dream has become true. You can read it in an intelligent, intelligible language. You can understand. You know, every true believer can understand with just a little bit of effort. Just a little bit, of course. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will understand the Bible. It's not a mystical religion where you need a guru or an imam to tell you what to believe or not to believe. So the book, the dream, has become true. A man of faith is also a thoughtful man. You see it here? He thought about these things. He meditated upon them. He was not a man of impulse. He did not act out of impulse, anger, or revenge. He paused. He prayed. He waited upon the Lord. You see, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters, again, God is not against our reason. Christian faith reasons. Oh, how do I reason? Here I am, a poor sinner, doomed and condemned, and I hear the gospel of redeeming grace. Christ, God over all, came into the world. Oh, I understand that. Even a child can understand that. And I believe, I repent from my sins. I believe those things because God said them. Use your mind sanctified by the word of God. You know, he's the first to hear about the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, even before John the Baptist. You see, Joseph is a good man. We should study him more. He's a discreet man. He's a righteous man. But he's also a man of faith. He believed. Number four. He was an obedient man. You know the passage? We often quote it. You know it by heart. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can do many things for God, but if you are not obedient, it means nothing. He believed and obeyed without delay. His obedience was the result of it. Please, can I list you 5, 6, or 7 things just in relation to his obedience? You will see this man was very obedient. Number one, he took Mary on his side as his wife. And the Greek actually says he took her on her on his side. That's how marriage is explained in Greek in the New Testament. He took her on his side. She became his wife, and he, her husband. Number two, he named the child. You see, in verse 25, he named the child Jesus, as the angel told him in verse 21. That's obedience. and he adopted him as his own son. Number three, it's not here in Matthew, but later, he circumcised the child on the eighth day. That's the tradition there, according to the law of God. And number four, he did the necessary purification. He brought with Mary to the temple birds, pigeons, in order to offer sacrifice. And those birds, those animals, tell you that Joseph and Mary were poor. They didn't bring a lamb. They didn't bring an ox. But birds. It was a poor family. You see again, what a humiliation for God to be born. Sometimes I say, if it was me, I would be born in the best hospital, in the best palace. You know, immediately people should call me King of Kings, you know. But he was born in a poor family, in a manger, among animals. What a humiliation for a king. Number five, his obedience. When you read the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, he had to flee to Egypt at night because King Herod is after the children to kill them. And Joseph obeyed at night. And believe me, Egypt was not the best place to visit then also. But out of obedience, he went to Egypt. And he waited there until God again speaks to him to come back. Number six, he traveled to Jerusalem every year. That was a sign of obedience because all males had to travel to Jerusalem in pilgrimage. And number seven, I believe it's not mentioned, but when you read again the Gospels, that Joseph cared for his family. This was a man who cared for his family. And the Christian life, to come back to obedience, is a life about obedience. Christ said, you know the passage, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Love always obeys. Love always does. Love always acts. Love is never passive, waiting. Love does. Obedience removes confusion. The world says, you know what the world says? If you feel good about it, do it. Do as your heart tells you. Please don't believe your heart. That's functioning by instinct, by your senses. Never act upon impulse or just by your senses. You will be led astray. His faith was without words, but not without works. He didn't speak much, but he did much. Number five. He was a self-controlled man. Self-controlled man. Look at it, verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He knew her not. In verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, outside marriage, they didn't come together. And when she became pregnant of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't come together. He waited. He was a self-controlled man, a temperate man. And my dear friends, to control oneself before marriage, to control oneself before marriage will help you also to be self-controlled in marriage. I guarantee you, most of the fornication and adultery you hear in our world today, when you check well, the people didn't live a holy life before their marriage. And remember, Satan will always tempt you with the sin you had when you were unconverted. That will be your biggest enemy. Think about it. Any sin that was a king in your life before conversion, when you are converted, please be careful. That's your boomerang. It will come back to you again. So with Joseph here, he was not only restrained in his body, but he was also restrained in his feelings. Today people lash out their feelings, uncontrolled feelings. But the believer restrains himself. Even don't buy what you don't need. Why do you accumulate? The house is full, full, never satisfied. So he thought on these things. You see, he thought on these things. He reflected on these things. He considered this thing. He wrestled with the problem. And he did not act hastily. He examined things and examined himself. He prayerfully pondered the situation. My dear friends, a man who cannot control his emotion cannot control also his impulsions. You know, Galatians 5 verse 22. Verse 23, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The ninth one, number nine, in the nine segments there, self-control. The believer is self-control. Even in eating, the believer, that's okay. I don't need it. I'm full. Thank you. See, self-control. Anything you do, even your thoughts, oh no, I cannot think about that. It will dishonor my Lord. That's how the believer thinks, my dear friends. It's all in Joseph's life. But let me close with the last one. Joseph was a man with a great sense of responsibility. A great sense of responsibility. You may be young in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s. You know, you can be old and be unwise. But you can be young and be very wise. 20 years, but this man is responsible. 30 years, this man is responsible. Maturity doesn't depend on the number of years. But Joseph was a responsible man in a patriarchal society. You know, in a patriarchal society, the father is everything. The husband rules the home. But you see, he was obviously honored by his wife, Joseph. The wife submitted to him. You know what? I tell you what. Don't think far. Because he loved her. And I say to myself, a loved wife will not have any problem to submit. You hear today the feminists, Christianity is all patriarchal, is all submission of the women. No, actually a loved wife will enjoy. She will be very pleased to be submitted to her husband. Why? Because she too loves her husband. So Joseph is there. Is an example. And we never find Mary complaining. Never. God bless the family through Joseph's spiritual headship. Not Mary's headship. Today, the women in the world, I'm not speaking about the church. The church, there should never be an argument or a political disagreement on those things. Because the Christian wife is liberated. You know when? 4,000 years ago, there back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, he created them male and female and gave them dominion. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, women have been liberated long time by the Lord Jesus Christ because they are heirs together of the grace of life, heirs together. Heirs together. In Islam, the wife inherits the husband after the children, after the uncles of the home, of the family. But Christianity has liberated totally. Galatians 3, verse 26, 27, 28. In Christ, we are one. No hierarchy in the Church of Jesus Christ. But I will miss the point if I stop here. My dear friends, there are applications I would like to make. You can see in Joseph a Christ-like attitude. This man acted like Jesus Christ. You know the saying, like father, like son. But let me reverse that here. Like son, like father. That's what you see in his attitude. He imitated Jesus Christ. I said to you, Joseph loved his wife. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And Joseph was willing to bear the shame. Christ bear the shame upon himself. Our shame, our sins, our transgression. He took upon himself everything. Joseph did the same for his wife. The law condemns us, but Christ saves us. And it is obvious that Jesus was subject to Joseph spiritually also. He looked after the Son of God as a father, as a prophet, as a priest, as a provider, and as a protector. You know, my dear friends, our time is over, a long time. But remember, it is hard to educate, to raise up a perfect child, a sinless child. But I believe, we read it in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus Christ was submitted to his parents, Joseph and Mary. And he grew in grace and in wisdom before God and before men. How did he get that? Because of the education also Joseph gave him. In many ways, Joseph laid, as I said, his life for his wife. Humanly speaking, we should be thankful for Joseph. You know what? Humanly speaking, I said, we should be thankful for him because he cared for our Lord in his house. He cared for our Lord. And Joseph spared nothing to serve the newborn king. More to say, but it suffices us. This is enough for us. Number one, he was a discreet man. Number two, he was a righteous man. Number three, he was a man of faith. Number four, he was an obedient man. Number five, he was a self-controlled man. And number six, he was a man with a great sense of responsibility. May the Lord bless these things in our souls.